All right, this is Jim Fitzgerald, Different Breed Training, Episode 2. So right now, I'm in the process. I'm putting it up right now on my Instagram page, Different Breed Training. I'm putting up a questionnaire. So every so often, I put up a questionnaire, right? And this is just a great way for me to kind of, one, bring value to my audience, but also kind of find, you know, where the questions lie in hitting, in the swing, in movement, and in, you know, baseball in general. So every so often I'll put up, you know, a questionnaire, and it gives me an idea to kind of almost pick the brains of my audience, you know, and that it's super important to me, and being able to answer whatever questions, and if I don't know the question, the answers to the questions, looking into it to, you know, provide answers for them. So by the end of this episode, that questionnaire will be up. I'm going to use the questions asked in that questionnaire as the topics for the podcast, right? So I pulled two questions from previous questionnaires, and we're just going to jump right into it, okay? So the first question that I got a couple weeks ago was swing down or launch angle. That was the question. That's how it was stated to a T. So this is kind of concerning in you know, a couple of different ways. The problem with this, and anybody that's, you know, engulfed in the hitting world, right? Anybody that is studying this stuff and making an active attempt to learn and figure out the art of the swing, you know, this may come off as kind of a, you know, elementary question. But with that being said, it's still important because you still have people, you know, you still have these guys on MLB Network that don't know the difference, and they don't understand what, you know, launch angle is, and they view launch angle as a swing in and of its own. So when it comes down to it, that couldn't be further from the truth. Every single ball put in play has launch angle. Now, whether that's a ground ball with a negative launch or a zero launch, which would be even, like even a zero launch, depending on, you got to be strong as hell. You got to have a lot of bat speed to even get that ball out of the infield, you know, because you're talking a zero launch that it's very, very low and it likely not getting out of the infield. And you got the positive launches, right? You got anywhere between 10 and 20 is where you have your optimal results. And then, you know, 30 and 40, you're kind of reaching that, that danger zone. The problem is that we can't label a swing with high vertical bat angle as a launch angle swing, quote unquote, right? Just because you have vertical bat angle doesn't mean that you're swinging at, you're hitting pop-ups. So that's something that we kind of have to clear up. And I hope that kind of brings clarity to the whole launch angle thing. Every single batted ball put in play has launch angle. So really what it comes down to is launch angle beneficial? Is it a valuable metric? And the answer is yes. But before I get into that, just to kind of play devil's advocate, I was the furthest thing from a launch angle supporter. I thought when it first came out, I thought it put, you know, it tarnished what I was trying to do. It really put a dark spot on my swing personally, because I was a guy that had a lot of vertical bat angle, and it made my swing look bad to the old school coach, and it made, you know, my training look bad to the old school coach. So really what I'm trying to get out of this is to kind of bring clarity to what this is and how we can benefit from it. So what launch angle has done to the game is it's optimized training. So now we can go, and you can go on Baseball Savant, you can go and look up really anything to find optimal launch angle results and the highest batting averages and the highest home run rates and what, you know, whatever it may be that you're trying to provide for your team or for yourself as a player, you can go and look it up. And then what you can do is you can, I have a formula that, you know, if you're a guy that doesn't have hit tracks, right? I'm not a guy that has access to hit tracks all the time. So it was important for me to figure out how could I implement launch angle to my outdoor cage? You know what I'm saying? How can I you know, kind of find a target and make them, you know, figure out a way to optimize my T swings or my flips or my BP. So if you're looking for the most optimal results, you're talking 10 to 20 degrees. Well, 10 to 20 degrees is about anywhere between 40 and 45 feet out from the tee or home plate to the top of a 10-foot cage. So now me and my boy in college, my hitting partner in college, Brian Cole, you know, we kind of went mad scientist on the whole thing. And, you know, we figured out a way to calculate this onto our cage. So we came up with the formula and we implemented the numbers. And we took, you know, one of those, distance wheels or whatever they are, you know, the meter wheels, the rollers. And we just rolled it out to 45 feet. And we got a ladder and tied ribbons to the top of the cage. Probably wasn't even a ladder at that time. It was probably like a bucket or something like that. I don't know. It was reckless. But we were tying ribbons to the top of the cage. And every time we went into the cage to swing, we were aiming for that specific thing. You know, Brian started off the season, he was 2 for 2 with 2 doubles before he got hurt and had a rough injury that really hindered the rest of his season. But he was due for a huge year, and it's just a matter of whether you have, you know, a specific swing, whether you're vertical or you're horizontal, whatever it is, it gives you the opportunity to really optimize and create this muscle memory for all different swings at all different parts of the zone, whether they're high, low, in, out. You can create the muscle memory to, you know, make one of these repeatable swings that is kind of leading you in that 10 to 20 degree launch. You know what I'm saying? So just to give you an idea of the success and where the numbers lie for these, for example, a negative 10 degree launch to in between a negative 10 degree launch and a 0 degree launch, which would be a ground ball, let's say, the WOBA, W-O-B-A, which is weighted on base average. And just to interrupt really quick, the W-O-B-A is it's a weighted on base percentage. So what this is, you know, a home run is going to account for more points than a single. A triple is going to account for more points than a double. And that's really how it works. So it's a great stat to kind of give you an idea of where you're, you know, where your success lies and how well your, you know, how well your results are in game, right? So, like I said, a negative 10 degree launch to a 0 degree launch, which is a ground ball, pull side, hitters are hitting 219. It's not very favorable. But now if you increase that to a 10 to 20 degree launch, your weighted on base percentage is 881. That's a drastic difference. Drastic. So this is what launch angle has really brought to the game. So, you know, you can kind of fall into the negatives about it. And, you know, however, you know, these guys want to make it seem that, you know, it looks bad or it's ruining the game. But anything that gives you the chance to practice and optimize your training and, you know, really give you purpose when you get in the cage, not just swinging off the tee, trying to aim for the back of the net, you know, finding a purpose in every swing and having a goal every swing. Anything that can do that in your training is beneficial. And we can take this a step further now, which brings us into the next topic, which would be another question I asked a couple weeks ago, how to increase bat speed. Now, this is a question that it's by far the most popular question asked. Everyone wants to know how to increase their bat speed. So in order to increase bat speed, you have these fast twitch muscle fibers. So imagine running a 20-yard sprint, right? Imagine running a 20-yard sprint in regards to running 2 miles. 2 miles, you're going to pace yourself, right? You're not going all out for 2 miles. I mean, who knows? Some of these guys now, you know, they're running under 4-minute miles. So, you know, some of these are a sprint. But for the common person, let's just say, you know, if you're running 2 miles, you're 90% of us, 99% of us are pacing that, right? Where if you're running a 20-yard sprint, you're not going to pace a 20-yard sprint. You're going all out for 20 yards. When you're running those 20-yard short distances at a high capacity and high repetition, that's where you increase foot speed. It's the same thing with hitting. If we want to increase bat speed, not only do you have to swing a heavy bat, but you got to swing an underload bat, which would be you know, is a lighter bat than what you're than what you typically swing. So now another huge misconception in bat speed training, you know, you see these training programs all over the internet. A huge misconception is people that train bat speed, they use their regular bat, let's say a 33, 30, whatever it is, and then they swing a heavy bat, and then they swing a light bat. It's nowhere near enough, okay? You gotta go, I've found the most success and the most gains in bat speed when you increase by at least 25% and decrease by at least 25% and at least 50% and increase 50%. So what I mean by that, to break this down, if you have if you swing a 33-inch bat, you're going to want to swing 25% heavier than that. Then you're going to want to swing 25% heavier than that to get your overload training. Then you want to swing your 25% lighter and then 50% lighter than the normal bat, so 25 and 25. So you want to do at least two. Preferably, if you can get three, which, you know, the thing is, it's really tough to get, you know, 75% lighter. It's easier to get heavier, but it's really tough to get 75% lighter than your normal bat. You'd be swinging like, you know, a wiffle ball bat. So it's kind of tough to get that. But if you can get three, you know, you're really giving yourself a great opportunity to increase those fast twitch muscles and really increase your bat speed. So kind of going along with the launch angle, and how these kind of how these coincide with each other. At the end of the day, bat speed will never lose value, okay? The faster you swing the bat, the harder you hit the ball, the harder that ball is to be fielded cleanly or fielded at all. You know, you hit the ball with if you have a high bat speed, you know, with a high launch angle, you might be able to get the baseball out of the park. If you have a high bat speed with, you know, a low launch angle, gives you a better chance of finding a hole for one, or two, you know, an infielder bobbling it. What's easier to field? You know, what's easier for a third baseman to field if you're a right-handed swinger? A 110 mile an hour ground ball or a 75 mile an hour ground ball? I mean, it's fairly simple. So bat speed will never lose value. So now if we can implement bat speed with launch angle, bat speed will always give you more room for error, whether that's higher launch or lower launch. There comes a point where, you know, if your launch angle is too high and you're just hitting a really, really high pop-up, you can debate that that's harder to field, but you could also debate that it's not. It gives the fielder more time to get under it, more time to, you know, get his feet set, whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, the faster you swing that bat, you know, the more value it's going to bring you, the more room for error it gives you. So when we talk about, you know, kind of coinciding the bat speed with the launch angle, you know, if you're a guy who's, let's say you're that guy that's 10 to 20 degrees, right? And you have, you're a high batting average guy, right? Maybe not so high slugging, maybe not so many homers, but, you know, you're more of a low line drive, gap to gap kind of guy, let's say. If you're 10 to 20 and you have a bat speed of, you know, let's say, I don't know, 70, 75 miles an hour, you know, you get up to 80 miles an hour. Now that gives you a lot of room for error in regards to, let's say you miss one, right? Let's say you miss and, you know, your launch is now 35. Well, 35 off of an 80 mile an hour bat speed, you know, that's going to give you an exit velo of probably like over 110, let's say, some along those lines. Now that baseball is leaving the baseball park, it's not a fly ball. Where if that's a, let's say, a 60 mile an hour bat speed and the exit velo is only, you know, 85 miles an hour, that's just a routine fly ball at 35 degrees. So if we can just continue to increase our bat speed with a bat speed program that I'm putting out, it's going to be available to anyone willing to, you know, pay for it. Use the bat speed program and then start implementing a 10 to 20 degree launch angle in your training. This is going to drastically improve your infield results. So that's what I would leave you with. That's what I would leave you with. And you know, that's what this is really all about. These are two hot topics, you know, launch angle and bat speed. They're the two hottest topics in baseball. This is all about providing value. So there's no beating around the bush here, going right after it, you know, going right after and trying to bring value immediately, you know, as quick as I can, and just getting information to the hands of people that are, you know, in search of it. You know, that's kind of what this is all about. That's, you know, my entire life, you know, you're looking for answers. You're looking for, you're trying to learn, you're trying to find answers, and we're so misled, you know. For example, how many times do you pop up in the game and then your coach says, you know, stop getting under the ball. You got to chop down. Get on top of it. Well, the more you chop down, the more you have that negative attack angle on the baseball, the more you're just going to clip the bottom of the ball and hit more pop-ups. You know, it's just ignorance at its finest. You know what I'm saying? And if you're just kind of willing to put in any kind of studying, any kind of research into what it is that you're trying to do, then, you know, you can find the truth, you know, and that's what I really hope to provide on this. So, that'll be episode 2. I'm going to post it tonight, and I'm going to get that, you know, the questionnaires up. Put your questions in. I'm going to record again on Thursday. I'm going to use the questions that are asked in the questionnaire for tonight, and we're going to get after it. I hope this, you know, brings value or brings some clarity on the launch angle topics and the bat speed topics. At all times, I'm available at all times for DMs, training, group lessons, individual lessons, and yeah. Till next time, episode 2 in the books.